Hey, this is Frank.
Hello?
Yeah, I just got a call from this number.
Hey, is this Judge Ronan?
Yes.
Hey Ron, this is Frank. We were just having a conversation on Messenger. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Perfect. So tell me, Ron, you told me that you needed a ghostwriter, and you told us your story about, you know, how you became the youngest SVP in the company's history. So is this going to be your first book, or are you like a full-time author now?
No, it would be a first.
It would be a first. And what do you have? Do you know generally how ghostwriting works, or what would you want me to explain it for you?
Well, I believe it will work best for me. I am terrible at writing and communicating in that genre. I write the way I speak,
okay.
which is not bad, but there's very few artists, or excuse me, authors who have master that, are able to become authors writing the way they speak. It has been done. A lot, you know, people do it a lot now, but still, it's not a good method. I had to overcome it all the way through my education career, even in my doctorate. You know, you just, people don't like you talking, writing the way you talk.
You want to do that, or you don't want to do it?
I don't want to do that. Well, I don't know how to do that. You know, I can write a speech. I can write a 12-minute motivational speaking. But to then put that in writing for a book, it just reads differently than it's spoken. And I have several issues. I have 9 traumatic brain injuries. Things get frustrating for me trying to write it myself. So I've been told I need to get a ghostwriter. That's how I guess I got a hold of you guys. Who are you with?
I'm from Penguin Book Rights.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So when I saw your ad, I thought I would find out what you have to offer.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you how we generally work. So for us, we understand that writing needs to be unique for every single person. So the first thing that we do after signing up anybody is that you go on an author's call. And that's like a couple of hour long call. The writer is directly talking to you. They try to understand your story and how it happened. They generally try to understand and gauge the verbiage that you use, the tone that you use, because even though you want the book to be separate than, you know, your speaking skills or your speaking style, we still need to make sure that, let's say if I am a regular listener to your speeches and I go ahead and buy a book, it should reflect your personality. So that's why that first call is there. Then the foundation of any book is the TOC. So the table of content, if you nail that right, the entire book becomes really easy. And you know how Pareto's principle worked, that 20% of things do 80% of the, you know, 20% of things have 80% of the impact and 80% of things have 20% of the impact? So table of content works in a similar way. So our first focus is to deliver you a file with like the title of the book, title of all 10, 15 chapters, and, you know, a paragraph each. That helps us gauge a general direction of the book. Now we have two methods to move forward. Number one, we send you a questionnaire based on every chapter, because let's say if the book is divided into 15 chapters, we don't have to talk about everything like a first initial writer's call. We just have to talk about the things that are present in that one particular topic. So that can be done. If you're comfortable with calls, we can get you connected to like one of our writing assistants. They can sit with you in the entire call, record that call with your permission, and then we convert whatever you said into writing and then try to improve it. That's one way for it. The second way is we send you a questionnaire. You fill that questionnaire up. We take it back. We write more things, you know, based on what your answers were, and then we send it back to you and ask you more questions, and that's how it's going to work. Fairly simple. But takes time. We do chapter by chapter delivery. If Now, what happens is, let's say we got on a call and that call was 6 hour long, but at the end of the day, we took 3 months and sent you a whole book, and that whole book is not something that you're looking for. Both of us wasted 3 months and went nowhere. So just to tackle that one specific problem, what we do differently is we deliver you chapter by chapter delivery, slow one chapter at a time. You have enough time to review it. We have enough time to do revisions. And that we do not have account for. A lot of writers or editing companies do have like a specific number of times you can ask them to review something. That's not the case with us, because at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we're writing in a way that the clients like it, and you having the freedom to, you know, making revisions again and again until you find something that works for you helps us out in doing it.
Got it.
That's primarily the difference, you know, Ronan. Now, the pricing honestly comes down to the kind of writing needs you have. Because, see, it's, at the end of the day, it's writing. It's not like, you know, we'll be writing more words or more things just because you're paying more thing. If you're, and on average, a book should be, like, if it's a nonfiction, we recommend it being, like, less than 200 pages because it's a quick read, right? It takes a lot of time for a person to read a thick book. And if you're a first-time author, we always recommend the book count should be around 200. So is that the count that you have, or are you planning to write more pages?
No. The plan was 125, 150, keeping it to that airplane book, that small self-help book. Mm. Yeah, I have two or three books in my head, and I just need help. I've spoken on this. I need help getting it more into a book form.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think in your case, you're one of those people that's, you told me that you go to public speaking and events and speeches. So you're habitual to talking to people over the phone, or let's say in front of an audience, you're habitual to talking.
Yes, yes. 44 years I've been doing this.
That's a lot, yeah. And what did you do? Like, what was your main job?
Did you friend me on Facebook? Is that someone that wants to do ghostwriting for me has been following me on Facebook. Anyway, so I will just tell you that I started working when I was 12, and by the time I was 16, I was like managing other people on farm and ranch, in farm and ranching. And by the time I was 17, I was working also in the entertainment genre. I worked for Henry Grethel, Ralph Lauren, Bill Blass, Liz Claiborne. I got into entertainment. By the time I was 19, I was managing the largest men's and boys clothing store in the United States and working in entertainment. And then when I got my big break, by the time I got my big break, I was 21 and was managing a store, another store, and
you had
and
the whole
just kind of
you at the age of 21.
At 21, yeah.
That's so cool.
And so I had made three movies, and I got a break to move to New York or California, and I decided I wanted to go to finish college, and I wanted to join the Army. Everybody was floored.
That's quite.
And yeah, so,
I didn't see it coming. Army.
Yeah, nobody did. Neither did I. But I went. I was also in health and fitness, so I continued to work some in business. But I started managing a fitness facility, and going to college, and I joined the Army. And when I got out, I went back to college and got in the reserves, continued to manage other people's companies. And by the time I was 28, I went to work for the 23rd largest corporation in the world, youngest vice president in their history. And at 30, I became the youngest senior vice president and took over an entire division.
The entire lifetime to achieve what you're telling me or achieve by 30.
Well, yeah. And then by the time I was 40, the wars broke out in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I had skills.
Was that 2001?
And 2000, yeah. I went in 90, and then I went again in 2003, 2004, 2005. and was in Iraq at 41, 2, and 3, and continued to lead soldiers into combat. And because of my civilian career, and I had become a combat engineer in the military, I actually managed theater operations for the engineers. And so I reported to the President of the United States. I reported to generals, and I reported to the generals of all the other nations that were working with us. I just had a great career. When I got back home, I went right back to I was CEO, general manager of the division, and I went right back to work, and they wanted me back in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I ended up retiring from my civilian career just to do the military, and I worked for the United Nations and the U.S. government and 97 countries. So I've been very successful and in civilian and in military, both my careers. And I will tell you, the only reason I was successful was because of the people I surrounded myself with. It was because I was good, but what made me great was being able to surround myself with people that had skills I didn't have.
Always on the lookout for things that other people were good at and you weren't, so that you can acquire them. That's how I got good and got my first promotion. But yeah, I like the fact that, you know,
well, and you exactly, and you've probably experienced it. The reason a lot of good managers don't become great is because they're threatened by people that are good at things that they're not good at.
Oh God, my manager to listen to this call.
And that very fear is what keeps them from becoming great. Well, what made me great was not my own skills. And this is actually not a new message. I'm 60 now, so I've heard other people say it differently. I'm going to say it this way. Out of the 10 things it takes to be successful, out of the 10 things it takes to be successful, you're only great at one of them. You might be good to great at two more. So let's just say you're good at three things out of 10. Well, the only way to exactly. And so that's, and the other thing is this, and I will sum up my entire first book. My first book is summed up in this little bitty kind of paragraph phrase. If you ask me what it takes to be successful in life, I will tell you everyone that has been successful has asked one question. They all ask themselves the same question. And it's what 90% of the people that fail at, or 90% of the people that don't achieve the success they want, 90% of them, it's because they didn't think that they could. It's because they didn't know how they could. It's because somebody else told them they couldn't or they can't. They're too tall, too fat, too black, too white, too Latino, too whatever, too Pakistani, too, you know, whatever. Everybody's told something that they carry with them their entire life of why they can't do something. And the only question they really need to answer is, how can I? And the people that become successful in life always learn that one question. It's not about what I can't do. It's about what I can. I just need to figure out, how can I? I've done this speaking at so many graduations and so many, from civilian, you know, just high school, college, to military. And you know, the best example I've got is a 6'9" guy who wanted to be a submarine commander. And you can't be a submarine commander
if
above
you're that tall?
5'9".
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I've always seen short people in submarine. Yeah, I didn't know there was exact height limit.
5'9", but it can be waived up to 6'2".
Oh.
So here's my question to you. Here's my statement. If you're 6'9" and you want to be a submarine commander, it's not about you not, being taller than 5'9" or being taller than 6'2". If they can waive it up to 6'2", why can't they waive it up to 6'9"?
Probably because they can't build big submarines.
Yeah, but again, if they can waive it from 5'9" to 6'2", why can't they waive it all the way to 6'9"?
So basically what you're trying to say is that the limitations that we put on ourselves are usually the, you know, the factors that we're, you know, not progressing in life. Let's say there was somebody who was 6'2", and, you know, made an extra effort, and they had to waive it up to 6'2". So if there's somebody else who's 6'9", and makes that extra effort, they probably will do the same for him. That's what you're coming at, right?
Well, and my point to that is, Robert Johnson was 6'9", and he became the tallest submarine commander in the history of the United States Naval Academy. He also went on to win an NBA championship in basketball. Yeah, so these are my you know, I want to put the idea of how can I into everyone's vocabulary instead of why I can't. Because my 4-year-old son will tell you why you can't do something. But I taught him by the time he was 6 that it's a wiser person who can tell you how you can. Anybody, a 4-year-old can tell you why you can't do something. What you need to learn is how you can. And that's when you start defying everybody else out there. And that's what will make you become great. Because it's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do.
15, 16 minutes, if I just send this recording to my writing team, they'll probably come up with the first chapter, or at least a basic outline. They'll probably be able to quote you. This is amazing. You know, ever since COVID, if you look at the book sales, and this is open data, even you can Google up and look, the amount of self-help books and their need and requirement has gone up. For every one writer out there, there are like 100,000 people that need more help. So this concept, as you said, other people might have said this in a different way, but that's how you put it, and your experience, definitely you have experience and, you know, a lot of achievements to back it up. Yeah, I definitely think that this, what's your second or third book? Is it similar to what you're thinking about right now, or that's a different genre overall?
No, I have two more books. One is, the second one is for managers, and it has to do with having a hole in your company. And I'm sure you've, how old are you?
I'm 35.
35. So I'm sure you've either seen this or experienced it yourself. You've heard of the Peter Principle, right? Where you get promoted beyond your ability?
Yeah.
Well, that person just needs to learn to ask, how can I?
Okay.
Let me remind you that. But the reason I talk about that is this. Who promoted that person and why? Because the issue is not in the person that got promoted. The issue is with the person that promoted them. And every company does this. I worked for Fortune 500 companies. Somebody will be good at something, and they think they'll be a good manager at it. And so I call it promoting a golf ball into a basketball. Promoting a basketball into playing golf. Promoting a football into playing basketball. You can't do it. You can't play basketball with a football. You can't play golf with a basketball. And you can't play basketball with a golf ball. It's no different. Promoting a person, a human being, into the wrong position. You have a hole. You have a hole to fill. And you promote the wrong person. Generally, you end up with two holes. Because you have a hole where you promoted that person out of. And now you've promoted them into a position they are not qualified to fill. So the whole book is about, if the first book is Management 101, then the second book is Management 201. You know, don't get bogged down by what you can't do. So once again, promoting a person into a Peter Principle, and you didn't. And but again, this is an advanced book. This is for managers, and it's just to keep them from promoting or making the wrong decision. guys like me end up being called movers and shakers. Hmm. Well, the reason we're good at what we do is because we're able to make decisions fast. But, oh, by the way, we're able to correct our mistakes fast as well. And that's again, another issue between a good manager and a great manager. Good manager gets bogged down, starts pointing the fingers at other people, starts looking at his team members that failed him instead of his failure, instead of looking for the team members that
can. They were all very negative. They would point out all the bad things instead of telling them the right thing to do. I think that's a really
And you've heard that before. That's the issue with hiring yes people. They just tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
They're really not able to help you. But that's a different book, and that needs to be that one needs to be polished. But it's meant to be a follow up. It's meant to be, for example, I had some parents of a kid who he was touched with Down syndrome. Are you familiar?
No, I'm not.
Down syndrome is, there are different levels of Down syndrome. You can be touched by it, or you can be totally disabled by it. There are different levels. But what happens in our public school system is parents get told that their child is Downs, and they move them to LD. Well, LD is, you can get an LD diploma from high school. It's not the same thing as getting a high school diploma.
And that's,
you follow me?
How?
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm following you until now.
Okay. So if you're a parent of someone with Down syndrome, you need to be aware that just because your son or daughter has Downs, it doesn't mean that they are low efficiency, low-level learning. They may be at a higher learning level. And I just use that to say I've got a kid who's been in the military for 10 years.
Oh.
He has Downs.
Oh, really?
But he's been in the military for 10 years. But because his parents, they had moved him to the LD, and I convinced them to make the public school system prove he couldn't learn, put him back in mainstream high school. If he graduates with a C average, the difference is he graduates with a high school diploma, not an LD diploma. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You're just against anybody putting a cap on themselves or anybody else putting a cap on you.
Right. And so once again, you know, because I got the parents to make the school, public school system, take him out of LD and see if he could pass, he went through 10th, 11th, and 12th grade and passed. Now, he only made C's, but guess what? To be in the United States Army, all you have to have is the diploma.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so again, it's back to everything I believe in is about not allowing yourself. I was labeled at LD as LD in second grade, but look at me now. You know, so once again, it's just about having the tools, equipping everyone with the tools it takes to be successful. And 98% of the time, all you need to be successful is have the ability to say, how can I? Because if you can say, how can I, you can ask for help. You can go to Frank, and Frank can help you write a book.
I think it's probably the same way. It's probably the same way, you know, how the first part of any problem is to identify that there is one. And once you have identified it, obviously you're looking to at the solutions of that one problem. So, yeah, how can I is definitely the same concept. Again, 24 minutes of call. Trust me, Ron, I can send it to my team and we'd have an outline ready by next weekend. And I would just, you know, I want to run our pricing by so that you have an idea of the kind of services we provide and the price range. We do generally have three packages every company has. The starting one starts at $3,000. The gold one is like $6,000, and the platinum is like $11,000. The only difference is of the expensive the package, the more experience the writer has. That's the only difference. Like listening to your whole story and your experience, I would definitely not recommend you the cheapest one, because they're usually the entry level writers having less than 3 years of experience. They might not be able to grasp what you have to say. So anything between gold and platinum, which is like 6,725 and 11,125, are the ones that probably will do the job just fine.
And what do you get when the book is written? You have to buy a certain number of books.
No.
Do you market the book? How do you get the book published?
So we do provide publishing services too. So what happens is when you do sign up, you get like an account manager that it tags you along the entire process. To just give you a rough, easy answer for this whole situation, most of the platforms that we work with, they work on print-on-demand model. So you don't have this. I do know that there are a lot of publishing houses that will tell you that you have to order like 10,000 books bare minimum if you're, asking them to publish a book, or even 1,000 books at times. For if you do want like 1,000 books for your own, distribution or something, we do have the printing facility to pull it off. But generally speaking, publishing is like a really straightforward process. Once you have the book ready, we make the book cover. Once the book cover and book is ready, we just go ahead and start publishing it on all the top platforms that allow books to be published, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, Google Books, Kobo, Scribble, like this. I can tell you the names of 10 of this. And they manage the distribution for the most part. And that's like the short answer to this question. But obviously there are some details. The account managers are very patient. They would definitely, take you to the whole process, explain to you how the publishing works and how you can make the best out of it. But that's, I think, you shouldn't really, focus on that right now, because I think we're still at the writing stage. And this probably will take a few months to end. Once this ends, you then can, focus on the publishing part of the business.
How are companies that are like book writers, ghostwriters, book writers, whatever, how are they able to guarantee you a bestseller?
If somebody is guaranteeing you a bestseller, they're speaking out of their mind. What they do guarantee is that, let's say if I have a writer that is writing in this industry from past 15 years, he's a ghostwriter in our company. Now, the books that he has worked on, few of them are bestsellers. So what somebody can guarantee you is a bestseller writer. That's something that makes sense to me, but guaranteeing your book to be the bestseller or on the forefront of any, major news channel, that's a far-fetched lie. And with marketing, you can definitely do it. I'll tell you, I organized a launch party for a book. The writer's name is Bryce Boucher, really rich guy, had the funds to fund it. So we had a launch party on a yacht, and that yacht cost us $60,000 in terms of rent, and the press releases that we did cost us $50,000. The whole event was $110,000. So when you invest that kind of money, obviously you do get that kind of flow as well. But that guy's net worth was $350 million for it. It was like, taking out 10 bucks out of his pocket. So it didn't really hit him that hard. But that's not really a feasible option for everyone. For most of our authors, we tell them to write more books on the same subject, so that makes you the authority. And when you are an authority, then we usually use Amazon ads, Facebook ads, Google ads. You and I are talking about, something that's worth $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 just because you saw our ad on Facebook. So we do run ads, and we know how to run ads for our clients too. So the ads, they bring in the revenue, and that's how you build up.
Got it. So can you email me something?
I can email you something, but it would be exactly the same as what I told you. There would be like gold package.
Oh, okay.
Platinum package, 6,000, 10,000. So there isn't really much difference, right? Because want to know from you is like, what's your starting timeline? Because that would be really important. We need to make sure our writers are available for this. And secondly, people need information and not time to make decisions. Most of the time we tell other people that we need time to make a decision, but usually we just need information. So I want to ask you, what information would take you from point 5, which is, thinking about it, to 10, which is, sign me up?
Yeah, I am at the, here's my issue. I'm only getting older, and I've wanted to do this for 20 years. And for the last 5 years, I've done nothing but think about it, talk about it. For the last I started to do this in 20, I guess it was 2020, and it to me it just turned into a scam. This is a scam, and that's my issue. What are the scams out there? I'm not very trusting now because I got scammed on a book writing, and it's a major deal. I have a friend that wrote with them. I had a friend that he wrote his book with them, but to me they were a scam. Mm-hmm. They were anyway. Anyway, that's a whole nother story, but that's I've got to get to a point where I'm comfortable enough to say, okay, I'm ready to do this, I wish I knew. I am working on some things, getting finished right now, so that I can free up. The question I have is, do I just write? I have a couple of friends that have written books, and they say they want to help and just me self-publish.
Absolutely. You can always take that route, and that's not a problem. Or what you can do is, instead of paying a whole $11,000 or $6,000 at front, you pay like 10-20%, get one chapter written, and then you move forward from that point. $11,000 is probably a lot of money, but $1,000 for a person like you is obviously not that much to risk. So you can sign up with a smaller amount, look at the quality of work that you're getting, and then pay the remaining. Or usually you do like 50-50, but with the Platinum package itself, which I think is good for you, and if trust is the only issue, I would still need to go to my manager and talk to him and get a special approval made, because we don't do 10% down payment at all. But just because I'm talking to you and you've previously been scammed, I can talk to him, make a good puppy face, and see if he comes up something. But I need to walk in. Yeah, I think that's the only thing. I can send you 1,000 emails. A lot of other people are. You just told me somebody is adding you up on Facebook so that they can, get ghostwriting services done for you. And you can go on 10 different calls with 10 different people, and you would listen to more or less same thing. What I'm trying to say is that we've been on this call for 32 minutes, and I can just send this recording to my writers, and you'll have something to see for next day. But in order for me to initiate, you'd have to risk something, and I would, be more than happy to get you on a call tomorrow, get something on front of your eyes by the next week, and we can just take things up from there. Because you would have to take risk eventually, somewhere, and 20 years sitting on something and 30 minutes and a week away from a chapter sounds like a good deal to me.
Okay. So I've got some things I'm wrapping up in my personal life, business life, coaching life. It's the end of June. Why don't you call me August 1st?
Okay. Sure.
And let's talk about this again. And I took you down and put you in my phone. So I may call you sooner. But I'm just saying, if I don't call you before August 1st, why don't you call me August 1st and let's pick this back up?
Absolutely. We'll take it up from there.
And I would tell you, Brett, it's time to load the gun and pull the trigger.
I would love to hear that. Perfect, Ron. I just need to walk in and into another meeting in like 9 minutes. It's at 4. So I would like to, prepare myself before that. It was lovely talking to you. I would drop you, this is our landline. Anytime you ring up, just tell anybody that talk to Frank, and they will connect you to me. Okay?
Okay, Frank. I appreciate it.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.